This is a podcast for the MA in Online Journalism at Birmingham City University. In this podcast, I'll be talking about writing for the web, in particular the importance of brevity in terms of keeping paragraphs short, and I'll be talking about adding value to your stories through linking, embedding, and illustrating. Now, to begin with, I want to focus on what I call the basic principles of web writing. Basic is a mnemonic, a way of remembering some of these key techniques, and the B stands for brevity, the A for adaptability, S for scannability, I for interactivity, and C for community and conversation. In other words, the importance of keeping paragraphs short, being adaptable as a journalist, making your content scannable and interactive, and engaging in community and conversation around your content. So let's begin with brevity. Reading on the web has historically been more difficult than reading in print. Some early studies comparing print reading versus online reading found that, for example, people read 25% slower, that they took in fewer than 28% of the words. More recent studies on reading patterns have suggested that this difference is now less pronounced. Perhaps people have become more used to reading online. But it's also worth remembering that those studies are about reading generally. And news is a particular case when it comes to reading online. For a start, people are often on mobile devices and distracted, and there are lots of other things that they could be spending their attention on. So brevity is still important, even though people might not be working quite as hard as they used to read online. One particularly interesting piece of research found that short paragraphs online received twice as much attention as long paragraphs. In other words, if you want people to pay attention to what you've written, it's much better to chop a long paragraph into two shorter paragraphs than to expect a user to maintain concentration through a longer paragraph. If you look at the BBC News, you'll find lots of examples of this in practice. What the BBC do extremely well is stick to one idea in every paragraph. As soon as they've made one point, they've mentioned one fact, made one quote, then they move on to a new paragraph. And that is an exemplar of how to write online. Keep it short. If you've written a paragraph that's longer than 30, 40, 50 words, then think about splitting it up. If there's more than two sentences in a paragraph, think about splitting it up. One of the seminal concepts in this issue of brevity is the Quartz curve. The business publisher Quartz once said that the articles that were in the range of 500 to 800 words was the range of length that was least successful on their site. They said, this is the place you don't want to be. It's not short and fast and focused and shareable, but it's also not long enough that readers felt that they got a real payoff. It's not a piece of analysis that's going into a lot of depth. And that really challenges some of our assumptions about the right length to write news in. 500 words is really quite a traditionally widely used length for news articles. But of course, that was in print. And in print, we didn't know how much people actually read. And also, we didn't have the ability to link to background information, and we had to sum that up in text instead. So online, you should be aiming for certainly less than 500 words or write a very long form, in-depth investigation or piece of analysis that is going to work if it's justified. One final technique on brevity is to consider what's called chunking. Chunking is the process of taking a long piece of content and splitting it into multiple shorter parts in order to make it easier for people to find and read. So, for example, if you have a 3,000 word interview, you might consider, as well as publishing that 3,000 word interview, having six separate 500 or 400 word stages, parts of that. So they might be around particular themes, and someone interested in one of those themes might find one of those parts of the interview and then maybe decide to read the rest. The same practice is often used in video and audio, where a long piece of film or audio is split into shorter parts that can then be discovered separately, as well as the longer part. Moving on to adaptability then, all I want to say on this is just to bear in mind that when you're creating content for the web, to think about whether you are adapting that story to the right medium. This is something that I talk about in terms of content strategy elsewhere on the course, but thinking about adapting the story to the right medium. It might be a story that suits audio particularly well, and that might be how you tell it. Likewise, the content itself might be adaptable as well. If you're writing a story about data, can you make that data available so that other people can do interesting and exciting things with it that you then can benefit from in turn? So think about adaptability as well. The third letter in BASIC is S for scannability. And this is about the fact that people online are often task-oriented. They're often looking for something specific, and they read a page in a particular way. They use what's called an F-shaped scanning pattern, looking across the page to try and work out quickly, does it answer the questions that they might have of that content? One of the key elements of scannability is the subheading. If you have a reasonably long article, consider splitting it up every few paragraphs with a subheading that should be written like a headline, giving a clue to the content that follows. Bullet lists and numbered lists work really well as well in drawing the eye in and quickly summarising key points. Block quotes can work really well. This is where you take a quote and you indent it, and it will normally be formatted differently. There is a button in WordPress and other content management systems to format a quote differently to the rest of the article. It normally looks like a quotation mark. And because people look for quotes as an indication that you've spoken to someone, that you've sought out some information, that can be particularly useful in scannability. Other techniques include bold text. So quite often, depends on the publisher, but some will have a policy of making a name or an organisation or a concept or a place bold the first time that you mention it. It's almost like the technique of indicating that a new character has entered the story. The introduction to an article is obviously key in people being able to scan and understand it quickly. And increasingly, images and other visual elements like galleries, video, audio clips, maps, charts, these are often now used to break up an article and make it scannable as well. So you will scan down the page and look for visuals, just as you would look for quotes. And it's worth familiarising yourself with the formatting tools in your content management system, in WordPress, for example, that allow you to do bullet lists and other features. Moving on to interactivity, then, this is really one of the most fundamental qualities of online journalism. And the link is the most fundamental of all. You know, having online journalism without links is like having television without pictures. It really is totally fundamental to online journalism. So if you are referring to any material that is available elsewhere on the web, you should be considering linking to that material. So you might be referring to a report or a document or some data. If that's online, then link to that so that people can go and look at it for themselves. Likewise, you might refer to previous articles on a subject. In the slides for this podcast, you'll find some examples of linking practice and good linking. Related stories is another one. And one of the key things to bear in mind when you link is actually writing the text that is being linked, or put another way, selecting the best text to be used for a link. And the key here is to select text that perhaps has a verb in it. So if you might say Bob Jones told the New York Times something, you might link the word told of a phrase told the New York Times, because that phrase is nice and active and it will link to were they told the New York Times that thing. What you want to avoid, however, is linking general organizations, people's names, things like that, because, you know, if for example you link the phrase New York Times, is that going to take me to the New York Times homepage? I don't need to be taken there, and really links should be specific, they should be deep. Another thing to avoid is linking the phrase click here, because if you imagine that people scan an article and look for the links, all they're seeing is click here. They're not actually seeing what that link is going to take them to. So the link should clearly communicate where the reader is going to be taken when they click on it. You should certainly never use URLs, for example. Now, increasingly recently, there's an alternative to linking, which is embedding. So, for example, if you were going to link to a social media update or to a YouTube video, then actually now you can embed that actual update or video within the article itself. In WordPress and Medium, for example, if you copy the address to a tweet or the specific address of a Facebook update or Instagram update or a video on YouTube, then as soon as you paste that and press enter, WordPress or Medium will convert it into the actual social media update or video. And that makes, that's much better than a link, because people can not only see the specific piece of information that you're referring to, but they can interact with it. So with a social media update, they can retweet it or like it, they can reply to it, they can even follow the person who posted it. And that's really exciting, I think, in terms of making things more interactive. Another thing to think about in terms of interactivity is calls to action, or what's often abbreviated to the acronym CTA. An example, again in the slides, is at the end of an article about some police raids, the call to action: are you in London and did you witness any of the raids? Please send us your eyewitness accounts using the form below. Another example in the slides is The Guardian reporting football transfer rumours with a poll at the top of the article. So straight away, even before we've read the article, we can interact, we can vote, we can see how other people have voted on this topic. And that really also overlaps with the C of basic, the idea of conversation and community, because we're now starting to engage socially with that content. And I'll cover that elsewhere on the course, because there's a lot more to be said about that. Also in the slides are lots of call to action examples from magazines like from The NME, Tour the Birthplace of Punk Rock, or Read About Rebel Food with a Course, with a Cause, or Watch How a Rocker Became a Sony Executive. That call to action just sells that interactivity. So that is a kind of a brief tour through those five key principles of writing for the web: brevity, adaptability, scannability, interactivity, and community and conversation. The key points to sum up are, firstly, use that word basic to remind yourself of the key things that you might need to do in writing for the web. Keep paragraphs brief, keep content brief if it unless it deserves a long form treatment, and be adaptable in making the medium serve the story. Secondly, serve the user. Think about how they might want to interact with your content. Are they going to want to click on a link to find out more? Are they going to want to act in some way to like or interact with the social media update? Think about calls to action in terms of selling the interaction or the value of your content. And on that front, generally think about adding value through links, through embedding, through illustrating visually using images, galleries, maps, and so on. There's a lot more that you can read about this in the last slide on Moodle. You'll find a couple of links to bookmarks. So if you look at my tags on Pinboard for basic, then you'll find things related to that. You can also look at more specific tags for brevity and scannability and other things. So just go to Pinboard and my account on Pinboard and click on the relevant tag or add the relevant tag. The addresses are in Moodle. You'll also find some more links, useful links, and reading related to this topic there.